Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 15. John, chapter 15, if you'll turn with me there. We're going to read the first 10 verses together in John, chapter 15. You know this. If I say John, chapter 15, you probably think, well, that's the vine and the branches chapter. Popular scripture. I'm going to preach to you tonight on the subject of value in fruitfulness. That's what Jesus said through this passage. He said there is value in fruitfulness. He really emphasized that God the Father looks at the fruitfulness of believers, and there is value in us bearing fruit. Let's read it together as we get into this message. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. That word can mean clean too, but the idea is that he takes away the things that hinder the fruit growth. He purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you already, meaning the disciples have heard the words of Jesus Christ, and God has given them all things through the gospel in order to be able to bear much fruit. He has done that for us already as well too. Verse 4, abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's great potential right there. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I'm going to read verse 11 too. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we've been to you several times in prayer tonight, but we want to do it one more time. I surrender again my thoughts to you, and I ask you to preach this message. I ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, to move like Pastor said, and I pray that through this message we can call again the value of our fruitfulness, Lord, and we can renew our commitment to stay vitally connected to our Savior. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, John chapter 15 really can be broken up into three sections, and due to my long-winded nature, I'm only going to tackle one section. See, I need a series to get through John chapter 15, so you can thank me after the sermon's over. But the third section, the last section, is verses 18 to 25, and it's the believer's relationship to the world. Now, I read that John MacArthur labeled that section that. I've read in my study Bible, you might even have the section headers over top of each section. But that's a good subtitle to that section, Believer's Relationship with the World. And you'll remember that Jesus warned his disciples. This is sort of, he's kind of given a farewell address in this whole John chapter 14, 15, 16. He told them, don't forget, the world has hated me, and they'll hate you too. The world has persecuted me, they're going to persecute you too. If they reject you, realize that they're rejecting me because they don't know the one that sent me. You remember these passages of Scripture? So it's the believer's relationship to the world. in verses 12 to 17, it's the believer's relationship one to another. And here we have these famous verses that you love one another. This is my commandment to you, Jesus says. One to another, how your relationship with each other should be characterized by love. Remember this? That he said, no man has greater love than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. And he said, you are my friends if you keep my commandments. So there are some of the things he touched in that section, the believer's relationship to each other. But the one I want to tackle is the first section. The section we just read can be entitled, the relationship of the believers to Christ. And I don't know why, I'm kind of like Sister Debbie in her testimony tonight, that persuaded part jumped out to her. This idea of fruitfulness and abiding in Christ jumped out to me. We've heard the sermon many times, but this idea of everything, it all boils down in a believer's life to their connectedness with Jesus Christ. So as the Lord put this message on my heart, I began to think of my life. How am I vitally connected to the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I abiding in Jesus Christ? Am I connected to Him in such a way that the connection with Him is the most important thing in my life? And I would ask you to do that as I begin this sermon. Am I vitally connected to the Lord? Now, I would say probably most of us who have set it aside in our hearts that Sunday nights we're going to come out here and worship the Lord, that maybe you are vitally connected. But I'm going to call you to the importance of abiding in Jesus Christ. I was talking to one of my friends this week at lunch, and she explained that I want to illustrate connected or abiding in. She was telling me that her husband is a new golfer. And I said, oh yeah, so we were talking about his connection to golfing, that he's military, she said he's all in. You know, he loves his country, so he went and served his country, and now he's out of the military, and you know, for a while, he gave it all to working out. He's all or nothing. Do you guys know anybody like that? It's consumed or nothing, you know? So he was consumed with exercise, and then he's consumed with this or consumed with that. Now he's consumed with golfing. He's connected to golfing. And she explained one evening. She said, Saturdays, he gets up at 6 in the morning. He goes a couple of times and plays so many holes through the week. But Saturdays, he gets up at 6 in the morning. He puts on a golf polo. By the way, in 2 months, he's bought like 40 golf shirts. And he goes out to golf, and he plays several holes. And when he gets home, he walks in the door, and he says, honey, you've got to hear how I've played, how many strokes it took, how I adjusted, you know, whatever. He just got new clubs. So he comes home and explains his golfing outing. And then she said, he comes, and he sits in the chair, and he turns on golf on the TV. Then he leans over. She said, I'm not exaggerating. He picks up his golf magazine as the TV's on. And he's reading the golf magazine. And when he gets tired of watching it on TV, he picks up the golf video game. And I said, you've got to be kidding. You know, you're pulling my leg. No, I'm serious. He's all in. You know, it's all or nothing. And then after several hours, you know, he gets up and says, you know, I'm going to go outside. I got to get off the couch. And he goes into the garage where there's a net where he hits golf balls into the net. And then at nighttime, you can see how this goes. This guy is connected to golf. I guess he's already taken golf lessons from a pro already. I mean, he is on his vacation. He was bummed that for a week he wasn't going to play any golf. That's connected to golf. I have another illustration. This one's my own. When I got home the other night from work, my mom and dad were watching the boys, and Levi and Josiah were in the backyard, and they had made this lean-to, I guess you could call it a fort. They had this standing little Tykes play area, then off of it there was plywood and 2x4s left over from our addition that we're working on, and they had made a roof and a wall and stacked, without nails, had stacked several pounds of wood on top of as the roof, right? I mean, we're talking 2x4s and plywood, and it looked heavy. And when I got home, it had been raining, and they're underneath this fort thing and excited as can, mud up to their knees and you know, all over their face, and they had built this fort.
And when I came home, I said, well, you know, I went back there and I'm throwing stuff off the roof. That's too heavy. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. Well, Levi and I had a long discussion as I was showering him and getting all the mud off. And he was real disappointed that I took his fort apart. I'm talking about being connected. Hold on to me just one second. He said, you know, I just want to learn how to build something. I just want some nails and I want a hammer. And can't you teach me how to use that nail gun and that drill and that saw? I don't know, maybe Treehouse Masters has gotten into him or what. But he was heart set, I want to build this. And you know what my reply was without even thinking? I said, why couldn't you have asked me about lifting or preaching? Because those two things I can help you with. The other thing, I don't know the next thing about building a tree fort or whatever. I'm going to get you hurt before you get you hurt, you know? My point is connectedness, because you understand, I know what it's like to get up early in the morning when you're tired and get underneath, you know, and stretch. I know what it is to pull a muscle. I know what it is to train really hard to try to get physical results and muscle size. I know what it is to sweat and get nauseous from all the exercise. I know what it is to lift a big weight that I've been trying to hit for a long time, and I finally lift it. I know what it is to be swollen. I know what it is to be sore. I understand that. You know why? Because I've been connected to that for years now. I also know what it's like to be in the basement praying, Pastor knows this, for hours, and reading for hours, and writing for hours, and praying and reading and writing in different ways, all for hours, praying that God would move in a mighty, mighty way in a sermon. I know what it is to have prepared for weeks and get up to deliver a home run sermon and feel like when you get done, you struck out. I know what it is to have gotten this message I wasn't expecting and preaching it, and the Lord moves and you think humbly, wow, how did the Lord do such a wonderful thing? I know that. Do you know why? Because I've been vitally connected to lifting and preaching God's word. I've been connected to that, but I haven't connected to finding a starter out in the parking lot or you know, being able to build something of any value. I've connected my life to certain things. I know certain things. My question to the church tonight is, have you been vitally connected to the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about the times in your life where you really abode in Jesus Christ. You know, like that guy with the golf thing. You know, when you get up in the morning on Saturday, you're abiding in Christ. And when you get home, that wasn't good enough to have spent a few hours with the Lord in your study or on your walk or whatnot. But when you get home, you sit down and you turn on, you know, maybe a gospel channel or something that has to do with the Lord on TV. And then you pick up His Word along with it. You know what I mean? Where you just feel like being absolutely consumed in the Lord Jesus. And when that's all done, well, I might as well get up and go play the piano. Kristen does this. Play the piano and worship the Lord for a little while. Or I might as well get up and go pray. Have you had those times in your life where, wow, you just felt so connected to the Lord Jesus? Weren't those good times? I hope now is a time like that. Let me give you a few things that I've learned from this passage of Scripture. This is what I picked up. God is the husbandman, right? God loves fruit. Right? Am I right or wrong as I read this? That God must love fruit, because He said, Jesus said, I'm the vine, true vine. My Father's the husbandman. Every branch that doesn't bear fruit, He takes it away. Why? Because He loves fruit. Every branch that does bear fruit, He purges it that it might bring forth more fruit. The Lord must love fruit. John told me Tyler will eat plums and then eat more plums and eat fruit and eat fruit and eat fruit. You know what I think? I think the Lord is a fruit fanatic. I think He looks at our lives and He longs to see fruit. And when He sees fruit, He wants more fruit. Do you know why the Lord is a fruit lover? Because later on in the verse, we find that fruit brings Him glory. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? I want fruit in my life. Do you know why? Because I want the Lord to look at my life, see fruit, and be glorified. Do you know what fruit is? Fruit is evidence of salvation and God's working in life in you. Listen, we will have fruit in our life if we abide in Jesus Christ. If we are vitally connected to him, you don't have to work it. Man, I got to make more fruit for the Lord's glory. No, if you're abiding in Christ, you will bear much fruit, is what the scripture says. The life of the vine will flow into the branches and express itself in fruit. Amen. So I want to be so connected with the Lord Jesus that fruit just bursts out all over the place. In another message, I preached about Joshua and Caleb, how they went to, spy out the land. And when they came back, 10 of the spies said, oh, it's a big land and a good land. But, you know, we see giants and fortified walls and all of that. And that Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, but look at the grapes. And they testified of the largeness and the greatness of the grapes. I want my life to testify of the goodness of God. In the Old Testament, the grapes or the fruit of the vine was evidence that God had blessed the people and his hand was on the people. Don't you want your life to be a testimony of God's goodness and his blessing? I want to bear fruit. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. If you abide, God must love fruit and he loves growth, because if he sees a dead branch, he does two things. If he sees a branch not bearing any fruit, he pulls it out, throws it in the fire. If he sees a branch that's being hindered and could be better, potentially growing more fruit, then he cleans it up so that it can grow more. He wants growth. That's what the Lord wants. He wants growth. Purging sounds painful, but I say, even so, Lord, may your will be done. May my life, amen, may our lives bring forth more fruit. Purge us of whatever's hindering the fruit from growing in our lives. Lord, go ahead and purge us. Let chastisement come, though it may be painful. Purge us so that Unity Free Will Baptist Church and the families that represent the church that we all love so much, may it be this vine cluster of grapes of the goodness of God. Amen. God must love fruit and he must love growth. Then I read in this chapter 2 that I'm just going to give you some observations and then a concluding thought, okay? So the second observation I thought was, so God loves fruit and he loves growth. And and Jesus plainly said that we can't bear any fruit outside of Jesus Christ. That means the fruit that we bear is entirely dependent on our connection with Jesus Christ. That means that we can't work to build up fruit. We can't manufacture fruit. There's no canned fruit. All the fruit comes from our connection with Jesus Christ. So here's the thing. Fruit. And our fruit should tell on our connection with Jesus Christ. Our fruit should be evidence of how connected we are with the Lord. That means at any point in given time, we can take a look at our life and say, am I bearing much fruit? If I am bearing much fruit, then I must be vitally connected to the Lord. If I am not bearing much fruit, there's a connection problem. Right? If I'm not bearing in my body the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, right? These things, then there's something wrong. If I'm not exhibiting love in my life like the Scripture explains, and you're not, you know, we're not perfect, but there should be evidence of a changed life that was testified tonight. That our fruit should bear witness of our connection. So, apart from Jesus Christ, we can't bear any fruit apart of ourselves. If we're separated from Christ, we're like a branch pulled out of the vine that's good for nothing. You know what I read? I read in the book of Ezekiel chapter 15 that God asked the children of Israel, what good is a vine that's dead? What good is the wood? He said, other wood, you can build stuff out of it, but the wood of a vine, you can't do anything with. You know what the wood of a vine is good for? Fuel for the fire. That's it. He asked them, what good is a vine that is unproductive? It's dead. I mean, it's good for nothing. Church, what good are we if our lives don't exhibit the goodness of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ? We're nothing apart from the Lord. We're useless. That's why I run to Jesus Christ. That's why you're here tonight. I know it is. You come tonight not just so you can sit in the pew and hear some singing and a few testimonies. I would say the vast majority of the church tonight testified, and the other vast kind of wanted to, right? So we come in God's house hoping to be vastly connected to the Lord. We want to be connected to Him. We want to come in tonight saying, Lord, I need You. I need You for tonight, and I need You for tomorrow. I need You are the breath in me. You are the joy of my life. You are the strength of my life. You are my hope. You're my best friend. You're all I've got. Give me Jesus when I'm down, you know, to my dying days. Give me Jesus. We want to be connected to Him. It's because apart from Jesus Christ, to bear something that would please God, and it doesn't. I read in this verse that the branches that abide in the vine bring forth much fruit. I didn't read that the branches work for fruit. You know what I like about this whole passage? As I was reading, Pastor, I thought, you know, the vines weren't stressing over making more fruit. You know, the vine, do you see what I'm saying? The focus of Jesus' message to the disciples here wasn't that they would come up with a 10-point plan on how to be more productive for Jesus. Now, that's good, but He said the focus of the vine was to abide. Over and over, He didn't caution them, bear more fruit, bear more fruit, bear more fruit. He cautioned them to abide in Me, abide in Me. Abide in My words, abide in My love, abide in Me. The focus of the branch should have been to stay connected to the vine. Don't you feel free in that tonight? Don't you feel free that I don't have to worry about my productivity? What I have to worry about is how close am I living with Jesus Christ? When your fruit isn't what it should be, focus on abiding in Christ. When you're worried about how good you're doing for the Lord, just turn to Jesus and say, I want to be a little closer. I want to be better. I want to be more connected. I like that. That was a relief to me. I read here that God, He loves fruit and growth. I read here that we can't bear any fruit apart from Jesus Christ. We need Him. We need to be connected. I read that it's not something we try to impress God with, but fruit comes as a direct evidence of us abiding in Him. I read here of a pruning and a judgment. Some scholars argue here that, Jesus said that the vine that comes apart from Him is cast away, right? It's dead, and they cast it away into fire. And some scholars say, well, those are those that never truly believed in the gospel. And some say, well, those are those because the scripture says that they abode in Jesus, so they must have been a Christian, but their lives are fruitless. Either way, I'll just say it like this, that God takes a look at our fruit. And if we are not connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be alarmed. Can I just put it like that? If there is no fruit in our lives, that should be cause for concern. I think that tonight, maybe the majority of us have fruit in our lives. As I thought about this, I thought how grateful I am for a group of people, to worship with a group of people that you see the fruit of God all over their life. But I would say this, if there's times in your lives where the fruit is not as plentiful, to be connected to the Lord. I read about a couple other things that our connectedness to Christ brings along. There is no excuse for fruitlessness. I read this, listen to me. In Isaiah chapter 5, I read that the Lord built a vineyard. This time He was talking about the children of Israel. I'm going to use this negatively and positively. He built a vineyard. Do you remember this passage where the Lord said, I've made a vineyard, and it's a song. He said, I made a vineyard for My beloved. You know, I made this song. I made this vineyard, and in this vineyard, I put it on a choice hill where it could grow. And in the vineyard, I gave it everything it needed. I put a hedge about it. I put a watchtower in it. I put a wine press in it. I made it so that it was going to be absolutely productive. There was no reason for it not to be productive, but it didn't produce fruit. He was speaking of Israel. And He said, but Israel has, instead of bringing forth grapes, He said, I looked on it hoping to get this fruit, but when I looked on it to get the fruit, I got nothing but sour berries. Out of the sour berries, He said, you know what I'll do with this vineyard then is I'll tear down the hedges and I'll lay it open and those will come in and tear over the vineyard. And I looked at my life and I thought, you know what? The Lord has done all for me as He did for the children of Israel in that vineyard. He set up a hedge. Everybody in here, has the Lord set up a hedge around your life? He has. Has he put you in a place in your life where you can produce fruit? He absolutely has. There is no enemy that can stop our fruit from producing. Satan and all of his schemes cannot stop us from producing fruit. We are fruit producers. If we're in Jesus Christ, I love this, in spite of whatever's going on, we'll bear fruit for the Lord Jesus. One more thing is, I would like to encourage the church that we just stay around the Lord Jesus. We just stay around the Lord Jesus, because if we abide in his love and abide in his words, we'll produce fruit. And I just want to expand this to close. You know, I want to be fruitful in my life, and there's no excuses for unfruitfulness. It's not an effort thing. It's just a stick with Jesus thing. I want to stay around Jesus to bear fruit. That's what abide means. To stay connected with or stay around. And I thought of some things that I want, and the church should want to stay around, is I want to be around obedience. You know, he said, if you abide in me, you'll keep my commandments. That's, if you abide in my love, keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. Obedience is one of those fruit. Obedience is one of those things in our lives that show that we're being connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to stick around obedience. I want obedience to be a characteristic of Josh Workman. I want obedience to be a characteristic of my family. I want obedience to be a characteristic of the youth group that I've been able to work with. And I want it to be a part of our church that, boy, they are an obedient group of people to the gospel. I'd like to stick around prayer, wouldn't you? I'd like to stay in a place where prayer is constant in my life. Sister Debbie, I was listening to your testimony, and I thought, boy, this morning, at such and such a time, Sister Debbie marks a spot in her day that she can get around the Lord Jesus Christ and abide in him in prayer. I know there's a morning time for our pastor when he gets up in the morning that this certain part of the day is dedicated to reading the Word of God and to prayer. He sticks around it. There's a certain time with the kids and I where we stick around prayer. And I want to safeguard that, you know. We should safeguard our relationship and our connectedness with Jesus Christ, that we would bear fruit. I want to stick around worship. I want, don't you? Don't you want to? Pastor was talking about having praise time alone. Our lives get so busy. But I want to stick around. I want to abide in worship for a while. I wrote this down as I studied that this week I'm going to abide in worship a little bit. I'm going to spend a little extra time making melody in my heart with song to the Lord Jesus, because he's good to me. Amen. I want to abide in worship. And when we have worship, I wrote this down for myself, that as we begin to sing and pastor would encourage in a psalm or somebody would do a special song, that I'm going to close my eyes and shut out the world and I'm going to abide in worship. It's not a time filler. It's something that honors the heart of the Lord Jesus. So we should abide in worship. He longs for us to pray, so stay there. He longs for us to read his word, so stay there. He wants us to worship his holy name, so stay there, abide in worship. I thought this week I'm going to encourage some of my brothers in Christ. I'm going to abide in fellowship. There's some brothers that are close to me that I just want to lift up. I want to do them service. I want to be there as a brother in Jesus. So I'm going to abide in fellowship. Is this stuff good? I'm going to abide there. I'm going to abide in his word. I'm going to abide in right living. I thought this, Lord, I want to abide in holiness this week. I want to abide, and I want to stay around right living. You know, don't you? I want to stay in the spot that I'm right in the center of the Lord's will. Amen? Yes. Abide in holiness. I want to keep his commandments. I want to continue in serving him. I don't want my fellowship to ever be unbroken or to be broken. I want to remain in his teaching. I want to remain in his instructions. I plan to read his word and recite his word and memorize his word. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to be connected to him closer today than I ever have been before in my life. Why? Because God loves fruit. And he is apparently was his plan with redemption. Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross so that he can take this broken, mired thing called a sinner and make him this tool that's useful for him to bring him glory. God took us right out of the miry clay, out of a pit of destruction, and set our feet on a rock so that we could honor and glorify him. So I want every area of our life, our work life. We can't separate our lives, right? We have work life, we have social life, we have church life, we have all this stuff going, family life. I want all those things. I want my entire life to bear fruit for Jesus Christ. Would you all stand? The Lord loves fruit, and He loves growth. I hope this message has done nothing else but make you look at your life and the fruit that you bear. And if there's a need for you to come and pray, if you just want to come and be more connected, I ask you to do so. If you want to pray for a family member to be more connected, I want you to do so. If there's an area of your life that you decide that, you know what, I need to stay around Jesus a little more in this area of my life. I need to be connected to Him because without Him I can't bear forth any fruit. If you want to come, and I'd urge you to come and pray for our church, that we would, in our community, we've met some people over the past few months, Pastor was saying, out in the community, may the name of the church bring glory to Jesus Christ. May we be fruit bearers in our community. Maybe in your workplace. I work with a lot of folks who acknowledge that there is a God, but I'm worried that they don't have Jesus as their Savior. I want to pray that my connectedness to Jesus Christ would bear enough fruit that they would be persuaded to come to Jesus Christ. Maybe you want to pray for your work folks. Maybe in your marriage, that you want to be more connected to Jesus in your marriage because you want your marriage to be a fruitful marriage that brings glory and honor to God. Why don't you come and be connected to Jesus Christ? Maybe in an area of your life that is uncertain. I'm telling you that everything relies in your connection with Jesus. Won't you come? Let's bow our heads and then we'll have a word of song. Lord Jesus, I've done my best. I hope that being fruit bearers and the value of fruitfulness was displayed okay in tonight's sermon. I ask for the Spirit of God to do the moving, Lord. I ask that You would challenge our hearts through Your Holy Spirit and through Your Word. Your Word is the thing that's alive. I pray, Lord, before I got here that You would just do some marvelous thing among the people and stir us up. Lord, I know You did it in my heart, and I've made arrangements this week to be connected with You, to bear fruit. I ask for a purging. Lord, I ask for a separating. Lord, in a sense, I'm asking for revival, Lord. I pray this, Lord, for me. I pray this for our church. I pray, Lord, that we would bear fruit in Jesus' name. Amen.